crazy still after almost 20 years of marriage is my clutter. But it, to me, it's just an organized pile. To him, it's, I tried organizing this last week for homeschool, getting everything all ready for the start of the new school year, but I'll be there by the end of this week. But it still kind of just looks like an organized pile because that's just how I function. I know where things are. And unfortunately, my two youngest boys kind of have the same thing going on because their room looks like my piles. Only there's this piles of Legos. Jeff Hoover and a lot of the elders are gone. Brad's getting married. So Rick and Cindy and Jeff and Jody are in California. Patrick and Tammy are on an adventure with their fifth wheel. And then Wayne and Jeannie are in, where do they go all the time? Arizona. Yes. So, and then there was some schedule changes. So this is how we ended up here. Oh, yeah, Mike's in Alaska also. Renee's here, though. She's in with the kids, I think. So, anyways, we have got a lot going on this summer with the body of Evangel. Okay, so let me pray, and then we will dive in. So, Lord, I just thank you so much just for this day, just for this opportunity, Lord. It's just always such an honor just to get up here and just share your word, Lord. And Father, I just ask just that just Holy Spirit would just move in this room, Lord Jesus, and just that you would let our hearts just receive what you have for us, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for who you are, Lord, and we just thank you for the marvelous time that we had in worship with you today, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. So I've been on this journey for quite a while now. I was trying to figure out when it started, and I can't even remember. But I think one day I was just spending some time with the Lord, and I just got this, I don't know, desire in my heart, I guess, to search out in the Word what it is like to live a life that's glorifying to God. And one of the reasons why I think this came about, because I was looking at Jesus and the healings and the way that he walked on earth and reading in the Gospels, and you know, everything that Jesus did, he did because that's what the Father told him to do. Obviously, our life is a little bit different because we don't do what the Father tells us to do and what Jesus leads us, Holy Spirit leads us to do until after we've received him as our Lord and Savior, where Jesus was just holy from birth. So I'm going to be talking out of 2 Timothy, but it's Paul's writing. I love Paul. Paul's a great example of somebody who was transformed, like how we are, and had his encounter with God and completely changed his life around. But one of the things that sometimes can drive us nuts as Christians, at least it does me sometimes, is that I feel like sometimes Paul's obviously not on the same level as Jesus. I mean, here's Jesus, here's God. Paul's just a human. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so this little thing right here is some of the other names of Jesus in the Word, other names for him. Anyways, because I just want Jesus to be exalted and who he is. Does that make sense? This is a homeschool mom thing. So Carrie Beth and I, we have discovered a laminator that she had gotten on sale. And then I was like, so she came over to my house and we just started laminating stuff for Sunday school, just laminating everything that we could get our hands on. So we had just spent like 2 or 3 days sometime last school year. I can't even remember. Must have been in the rainy season, so like November-ish. Just laminating stuff, scriptures, just everything. So Kevin
So I purchased a laminator for a lot of our school stuff and for the kids' flashcards and things. And so now Kevin has discovered the laminator. And so we have little things like this all over our house, like the Ten Commandments and then some of the names of Jesus and some other things. Anyways, yes. And now he's done a poster for the Seahawks. We cannot talk bad about the Seahawks during a game. It's a rule in the Salinas house now. But anyways, so I just wanted to make sure that Jesus was the focal point for today. So that is why I brought that with me. And I should have actually probably faced it towards me, but I have this other stuff and I have the word in front of me. But anyways, so with this journey of learning how to glorify God in my everyday life, in our everyday lives, there's been a couple books that have really just popped out at me in the Word. And one of those is the book of James. You know, James was Jesus's brother. I love the book of James, but we're studying James on Monday night. So while we were trying to figure out the schedule one night at home on who was going to fill in for this Sunday, and Kevin was talking to Jeff Hoover and things, and I just went out to the couch, and I actually went out there to study James for Monday night Bible study, and I ended up in 2 Timothy, and the Lord just started downloading stuff to my heart, and I remember studying 2 Timothy and it being a life changer for me. And so I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, because that's what I'm going to be talking about. And I'm kind of blind nowadays, so I actually printed it out so I could read it without having to squint. Hopefully not stutter too bad. So I'm going to start at the beginning of chapter 1, and then I'm going to go through verses 14. So we won't fully get through the entire first chapter. So, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So that's the heading of the next chunk of verses. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt in your grandmother Louise and your mother Enos, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who served us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now he has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So I want to just get the setting of what's really taking place down in our minds so that we can really understand what is actually taking place, the emotions that Paul is probably feeling as he's writing this letter to Timothy, who was his beloved son. And we know that he is not his birth son. Okay, Timothy was a son of a... I believe it was a Jewish mother and a Greek father. So Timothy himself was not actually circumcised. And some of the Jews had a hard time with crafting Timothy into the ministry. So Timothy was actually circumcised under Paul so that he was able to do ministry as just a testimony of, you know, he was going for Jesus. So that's a little bit of the background of that. They met in, let me see if I can find out in my notes. Okay, well, this is my organized, unorganized clutter. So anyways, I can do it by memory, I think. Anyways, so Paul was supposed to go a different direction. It ended up not happening. That's where he meets up with Timothy, and he takes Timothy under his wing. So for 15 years, Timothy has been this spiritual son to Paul. Now, when I think of spiritual, I'm a daughter, obviously, but when I think of spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers in my life, and I think of, you know, Cindy Stonex, Renee Fox, but basically all the elders I've walked under at some point, Tracy, but with Kevin and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about Jeff and how Jeff is just a really, really good spiritual father. He's been walking with us for 20 years. He's been through, some really good times, some really not so good times at the hospital when we've had babies, at the hospital when we've had tubal pregnancies, in his office, trying to help us work through some of our marital issues at times, but then also some of times where we've have really celebrated. And so we watched our video, because Kevin's putting it on VHS to DVD, of our wedding, and this was, you know, almost 20 years ago. So Jeff looks a lot different, but he's just up on stage, and it was in the same church, and he's just smiling down at us as we are saying our vows to each other. And so that's kind of what I picture in my head as I'm thinking of Paul being the spiritual father to Timothy. And here is Paul, and he's in prison, okay? And he is really close to being sentenced to his death. So this is kind of towards the end of Paul's life. So Paul's probably wondering right now the things that really, really mattered. I'm sure that he's sitting there in prison and he's beaten. He's probably beyond, really recognizing who Paul is, because he's been so beaten. And he's laid his entire life after his encounter with God down for Jesus to glorify God. I mean, I think Paul is an amazing example of somebody who really lived out a life to glorify God. Was Paul perfect? No. Are any of us perfect? No, but he lived his life out according to the word and according to a lot of it that he actually wrote. So that's one of the things that I really just want us to picture is here is this father, and he's taken this son in, and he is just captivated with love. And he is just, I am thinking in anguish because he just wants to see Timothy just one last time so bad. And he's writing this encouraging letter to Timothy as Timothy is pastoring the church in Ephesus. So it is an encouraging letter saying to Timothy, you can do this. And he's told him before, he's raised him up, but it's just one reminder of if I have one last letter to write you, Timothy, this is what it's going to say in it. So he's saying to Timothy, keep your faith. Okay, your faith that was given to you, it's an inheritance from your grandmother. So keep your faith. That's a gift given by God. Don't lose your faith, Timothy. So in verses 6 through 7, for this reason, I'm reminded you to fan into flames the gift which is in your thought, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us the spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Many of us know that scripture and have it memorized in different translations. I'm speaking out of ESV just because in the past couple years, it's just really been what's actually just captivated my heart. But all of them are awesome. So, okay. So, the laying on of hands, Paul and the elders ordained Timothy by praying for him into the ministry, which I think is an amazing picture because nowadays that happens so often and it's such an honor. And sometimes, you know, I think that there's just such, you know, we need to go to seminary, we need to do this, we need to do that. But if you think about it, they just trained him up and taught him everything that they knew and ordained him, which I think is amazing. So, in Ephesians 5:18-21, it says, this is just some things about being filled with the Spirit. When it says, for God gave us a spirit, okay, the Holy Spirit, which is empowerment by God. Do not get drunk with wine. For that is, and I cannot say this name, word. Jody said it on Wednesday, debaucherousy. Yeah, say it again, Jeff.
Debauchery.
Thank you. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies to the Lord with your heart, giving us thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. So that's Ephesians 5:18. And I just wanted to hit that piece a little bit about the fact that God gave us that the Holy Spirit, right? He gave us the Spirit to not fear, right? We're supposed to fear the Lord, obviously. I mean, it says reverence, right, in this scripture out of Ephesians. But love, self-control, power, right? Are some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. So, moving on. Okay, so 2 Timothy 8 through verse 12, and I'll probably actually just do this whole chunk in a bunch with the last of it too. We're always trying to figure out what our calling is as Christians. What has God called us to do? What, you know, I mean, that's like a huge thing, I think, that we get stuck on. I mean, we can almost get stumped on it because sometimes we overcomplicate the gospel and our calling, and we feel like we're not doing enough if we're not doing something that's like huge, major, you know, up front and different things like that. And I absolutely love what Beth Moore says about your calling. And because we're talking about Timothy's calling, right? His calling was to pastor at this point the church in Ephesus and to live life according to the word, right? That was been given to him. And he was entrusted with the word and he was to do that through the Spirit. So this is a quote from Beth Moore. To follow Jesus closely is to fulfill your calling completely. And I think during one of her teachings, it says that it's from Entrusted, which is actually her 2 Timothy 1. I don't remember it from that specific study that I did, but I just love that quote, because sometimes we get so caught up on who we are that we forget if we just follow Jesus, all of that will come to pass. If we just chase after him, if we chase after his word, if we chase after our heart, then that's what's going to get us to, that's us doing our calling. And everything else will just fall. So here is, So therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who served us and called us to a holy calling. Okay. So we're called to a holy calling, not because of our works, right? Not because of anything that we can do. We're just called because he's Jesus and we're called. Okay, because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus, okay? So everything that we're called to, we can do through Jesus. We can't do on our own strength. And I think so many times we try to do that on our own strength, and we try to make it so about us and not all about him, right? Because when you're back there and you're teaching Sunday school and you're planning this huge lesson, and then you get in there and everything's a little bit different, and you know, you have kids that need attention, kids, different things are going on in their life, and so your whole Sunday lesson turns upside down and you have to revamp that in your head. Is that about you or is that about God? You know what I'm saying? Do you guys kind of follow what I'm saying? So our calling, so my calling for seasons, every 3 weeks, every so often or whatever. I mean, it has been since I walked in the building at 19 years old, pretty much went straight to the children's ministry because that's just what was needed. And so anyway, so I'm using that as an example of how it works when we're really, when we're working through God and not, you know, it's not about us. If we're to be back in the classroom where nobody knows what we're doing, but he knows what we're doing, then that's where we're supposed to be, sowing into those kids. So, okay. So Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that goes along with what I'm talking about. It's already been prepared for us. We're his workmanship. He's constantly molding us. He's constantly molding our hearts, constantly trying to change us into who he's called us to be in our fullness of him. So God, this is just something that I thought of. God prepared us for good works, not to work for salvation, but to want to walk out good works out of his love for us and to show others who Christ is. So I think that's kind of came with this glorifying God thing, because so many times we can be in the grocery store or we can be at at Friday school, for instance, or something like that. And anyways, and we can go to one of two directions if something bad happens. We can either react natural in a natural worldly phase, or we can react in a godly phase and keep walking out our calling to and glorifying him. Because it's not glorifying to him if we're mean to each other. That's not glorifying to God. We're supposed to walk in unity and love. And so I didn't really have this personal story in here, but I'm just going to tell it. So one of the things that the Lord has done with me over the past, I don't know, 3 years probably, is take on the role of being a homeschool mom. And so with that has come different things. And so the first year of homeschool, Friday school was not even on my radar. Friday school is a co-op that is for homeschooled moms. You have to be, it's not necessarily moms, it's homeschooled families, so dads can do it, grandparents can do it, and you have to be on the grounds. It's from like 8:45 ish in the morning until like about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Fridays, and the kids get to take 3 classes. Usually they're electives, some Bible classes, some history classes, art classes. There has been like a finance class for the older kids. There's like wood whittling and like woodwork this time for like Ethan's age, who's 8, that he wants to sign up for. Anyways, so I'm thinking in my head, I'm never going to do this Friday school thing because for one, I don't have time with everything else that I was doing at the time. And it just was not on my radar. Honestly, you guys, I'm just going to be bluntly honest. I did not want to go be around a bunch of people that made me feel this small because they all have it together. So I was like, I am not doing that because I'm not going to put myself in a place where I'm going to compare myself to others and feel like I'm doing a very inadequate job, because really my homeschool walk was between me and God. It was something that he had laid on my heart, and I know that I can do it to the fullness of what he's called me to do, not because of me, but because of him and who he is. So The first year we go around and without Friday school. The next fall comes around last year, and I feel like I'm supposed to sign up, and I'm like, oh man, I just really just do not want to do this. And the Lord just keeps tugging on my heart. I have a couple Christian homeschool moms who do it, and they're like, oh, it's great. You're going to love it. It's gonna be awesome. It'll get the kids interacted with other homeschool moms. Okay, so the main reason that I really did it is because I really felt like the Lord was telling me that I needed to do it to be obedient in my homeschooling, and actually it gave me a lot of different people in my life that do a lot of different curriculums and have different ways of teaching different kids, so it's actually training me up to be a way better homeschool mom. So but the first day I go, and I'm super nervous, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I'm only doing this for you. So I go, I get there, my very first class, there's the three classes, you have to volunteer or you can teach two, and then you get 1 hour off as a mom. You have to stay on the grounds, and there's food, and you get to hang out with other moms. So my very first class, first period, I have a teacher who's going through things that I didn't know she was going through things at the time. And then I have a helper that I'm with. So there's two helpers in this particular class and a teacher who's also going through different things at this time. So I walk in not knowing anything about Friday school, not knowing where anything is. It's at New Life. I don't know their building, where the supply closet is, nothing. And I'm asked to go get a couple things for this teacher. And I'm just like completely fluttered because I have no idea where any of this is. And she's going through stuff, so she's not the nicest person. And so I'm like, okay. So I'm running through the building trying to find an envelope and find where I put the papers in to get copied, or at that point make copies when they're supposed to be in a week before. And I'm just flustered. And I'm like, I'm just praying the whole time because I'm about ready to have a bawling breakdown. And I'm like, Lord, I did not want to do this. And you told me that I had to do this, and I hate this. And so as I'm walking through it, so I had it in my mind after that first day, because it was terrible, that I was never going back. I'm like, okay, I don't care about the money. I'm just going to quit. I just don't really care at that point. And so I'm like, no. The Lord's like, just keep in there. I have a purpose for you to be there. So we go again. Okay, the second day is a lot better. But the thing about it now to where that was when the Lord first called me to do that, like last fall, this fall, it's so different. I'm super excited. I know a lot more people. I know the routine. I'm teaching two classes, and it is an amazing program. But here's the thing about it that is just off the charts awesome, is that you walk in for chapel between about 8:45, 9 o'clock to 9:35-ish, and they have worship. The kids actually lead worship for a couple songs. So it's all kids up there, teenagers, young kids up there singing, leading worship. Then they do a couple fun songs that are just like recorded songs, and all the kids, and I mean all of them if they want, get on the stage at New Life and dance and scream and shout for the Lord. And every single Friday that I am there during this worship time, I am in tears because it is so powerful and so amazing at what God is doing in those kids' lives and the way that they're loving him. And so it is just has been the most amazing experience ever. And the relationships that were really, really super hard the first day, I now, a year later, can see that God had his divine hand in it. And if I would have quit, if I would have not gone, if I would not have signed up, I would have missed out. And I'm sure that he would have chosen somebody else to do what I'm doing because it needs to be done. But the relationships and the things that people are going through when we look at them, and this is where our everyday life comes in, the grocery store, wherever, and people are hurting and they need somebody just to love them. And it's amazing what happens if we just love them. So anyways, so get back to the story because I'm ADHD. Paul takes on Timothy as a son. And so Paul is just in love with Timothy, okay? And what happens with the older generation and the younger generation? The older generation has way, way more wisdom than we do, right? So I'm sure that it's not always an easy thing to take on the younger generation. And I'm kind of learning that as I parent kids. But I can think of, you know, all the times that Kevin and I met with Jeff Hoover and we had all these great ideas. And he's like, you just might want to rethink that. It wasn't because he didn't want us to do it. It was just because he had so much wisdom and he didn't want to see us walk through something that was going to be horrible. So anyways, so as Paul's saying to him, you've been called to a holy calling. You've been called to a holy living. You can't live this life without Jesus, but through him and through the Spirit, you can do everything. So when we go into situations like the grocery store, we go into Friday school, and we have fear about talking to people, or we have fear of rejection, or we have fear that we're just going to have a flat-out crying breakdown in front of everybody. We don't have to really have that fear. Because all that matters is that he's called us to that holy calling and he's going to be there. And if he's called us to do something, good's going to come out of it. When he called Paul to take Timothy under his wing, the major good came out of it. I mean, Timothy is at this point pastoring a church and Paul's saying, just keep it up. Don't quit. So with that comes in to the next part, which I need to get my other actual notes out. I just do a lot better with handwritten than typed. I did them both ways because I really wanted to get it into my brain. But okay. Before I move on. Okay, so Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Okay, I love that. I love that scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raising against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought captive to obey Christ. Lisa Pingle has been talking about that on Monday nights. And I thought about that when I was studying for this. It's just so cool. Because I think about all the people in my life that have impacted me and that impact us as a body. And Evangel, we're so blessed because we're not really a huge church and we all just are kind of like a big, huge family. So on Monday nights, if you guys are not busy at 7 to 9, Jeff's doing a Bible study in the book of James. And it's really good. It's just very encouraging. And it's just fun to break down the word as a family. Anyways, and I know that scripture, but I wouldn't have ever been like daily thinking of that scripture and daily thinking of taking my thoughts captive if Lisa wouldn't have talked about that on a Monday night. 2 Corinthians 13 is all about love. So how do we live a life glorifying to God? We love each other. Okay, so back to living a life glorifying to God in Timothy. Let's see. Okay, so they were entrusted with something. Okay, oh my goodness, I have 15 minutes. Okay, they were entrusted with, let's see. For which is why I suffer as I do. Okay. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day that has been entrusted to me. What has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Okay, that's one of the things that I really, like my main thing that I really, really wanted to talk about. And actually on the front of the news notes, I just wrote these little things. You guys, I'm hoping and praying that we all walk away with way more answers, or way more questions than answers, because that's what keeps us like constantly in the Word, because we just want answers, answers, answers. And then we find those answers and more questions come. So I could have spent like a year planning this teaching, because I just kept having more questions, especially with the way that my mind is designed. So God has entrusted us all, right? And what Paul's talking about God entrusting him with is the Word of God. Okay, so the knowledge of the Word of God. So how do we walk that out? By the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that guards it inside of us, okay? So we kind of come along. It's our part, right? Because we only really value and we only really love the things that are important to us, right? Does everybody kind of get that? So if we put the Word at value, right? And we put the Word at, what did I just say? If we put the Word at value, and if we put the Word as importance to us, right, then we're going to want to guard that. Okay, so we guard the Word. We guard what God has put inside of us. But then also, Holy Spirit comes along and guides us and helps us and guards the Word. Now, I was thinking about this and praying about this, and I think it's a really good picture of people who are just able to share the Word. And especially Renee Fox, that woman can memorize scripture like no other. And it's amazing, and it's so encouraging. So can Marie. I was thinking about Marie because I think, was it the book of James? The whole book of James, I think you memorized during, yeah. So I was thinking about this while I was doing this, and I'm like, how in the world does everybody just always know what scriptures just to flow out, and they just flow out of their mouth? And then I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been trying to do it all on my own strength, and it's Holy Spirit that does it, because we have to read it, we have to take it in, we have to have it in our hearts. But I think it is honestly Holy Spirit who comes in, and at that point when we need to speak those things out, if we allow him to, we'll speak it out. So anyway, so that was just kind of a little like awe moment that I had during this study time. So the Word of God and then Holy Spirit, okay? Or the Word of God and then how we share it is actually, okay, so we're entrusted with the Word of God, how we share it. The Word of God never changes, okay? How we share it changes, because and this is actually coming from Beth Moore, Matthew 25, when it talks about the talents, and they're giving the talents away. It's a parable, and then they come back, and some of them have reaped, you know, twice the harvest, and then the one doesn't, and he's giving the example of the one that doesn't reap the harvest. It doesn't change. The other ones change. Why do they change? Because we're using them. And they're changing. So like, for instance, I don't know, 18 years ago, about, no, 19 years, 20, I don't know. When I rededicated my life, it's been like 21 years now. I don't know, I'm getting old. Ago, I was given, right, talents. I was given the ability to share the Word of God, right? But I was sharing it at that point. Basically just between Kevin and I, we did with some people at the grocery store, but it was more Kevin than me back then. And then with Leah, right, who was at the time, 3 or 4, I think she was 4 years old. So that was my time of giving, of sharing the Word, right, was just to her little 4-year-old body who couldn't really get away from me. So she didn't really have a choice but to hear what I had to tell her. And then it went from, you know, whatever, teaching the kids in Sunday school Tuesday nights. Terry Nooks and I took the kids back and just taught them during the 7 to 9 Tuesday night service. Why did we do it? Because it was a need, and it needed to be done, and those kids needed to be loved on. And so that's what I did with that talent then. So do you guys get the point, though? So it's changing, changing, changing. Obviously, it's changing when... It changed when I started leading Bible study, changed when I started Friday school, changed completely when I started homeschooling, because then their academic life became, Jesus-based, right? So I had to train myself up more to have the knowledge to be able to even do that. So, which all came from Holy Spirit. But so the word we have, the word is never changing, but the way that we express the word changes. So, and Paul's, you know, Paul went all over and spoke to all different kinds of people. And Paul talks about the one, that I believe, I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. And I was praying for Randy today during the prayer time for healing. And I just got this picture of Randy back there with the kids. And Randy was in ministry for a long time, right? Like years, you were an elder at Evangel, Shekinah. And then has came over to Evangel now, and now he's ministering to the children. But the children, they love him. They absolutely love him and adore him. And if you see him walk in there, and they'll all be going wild. And most of the time, they'll settle on their own, and they're so eager to hear what he has to say. And so I was thinking about this kind of as I was praying for Randy Moore when I got done praying for him, that he has had healings happen, but the majority of those healings have happened through the kids praying for him. And so I was thinking about how God has changed him over the years. And I don't know Randy a ton, but just the little bit of knowledge that I have about him through the years of him being an elder at Shekinah and probably, being more adult focused and marriage focused and that kind of things, to coming into Evangel and being in with these little children, and how God is just guarding those things inside of Randy. And he's getting healed, and he is speaking truth to those kids in such a powerful way that, like, our human minds really can't even, like, wrap around it, I don't think. The things that are going in those kids' hearts that we can't see because of it. And so as Paul sits in this jail cell, and he's saying, I know that it's guarded. I'm guarding it because I absolutely love and adore the word and Jesus, and God's guarding it and has kept me safe and protected through all of these things, you know, imprisonments, beatings, everything else. Did it feel good? No. But, you know, that's just the way that it was. So verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So this is when he turns it towards Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, keep the good faith. Timothy, walk a holy life that is worthy of the calling that God has placed on you. And keep guarded and what God has entrusted to you. And don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give up. No matter what it looks like, no matter what, just keep guarding that good deposit and keep letting Holy Spirit transform you into taking care of the church in Ephesus. So I actually need to look at my notes so that I know where I am. Okay, so Holy Spirit's job. Okay, this is John 14, 26. This is just some of the stuff, okay? Jesus's words, okay? This is when Jesus is prophesying about him sending the helper after he goes, okay? But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. So he's saying, when Holy Spirit comes, you're going to remember. This is where I actually had that huge awe moment when I was studying, because I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus even says it. He says that Holy Spirit is going to bring to our remembrance all the things that God has done for us and has shown us and has taught us. So when you have the thoughts in your mind. I just love how scripture all blends together. It just gets me really, really exciting. So when you have the you're in the grocery store, or you're in wherever you are, or you're doing whatever ministry God's called you to do, or just be a stay-at-home mom, or what, I mean, not just, okay, stay-at-home moms are not just a just, I did not mean that anyway, but whatever the Lord has called you to do, be in the workplace, be at home, dads, whatever, okay, and then you have the taking thought captive, taking thoughts captive. I seriously am going to start doing this all the time with my kids, because when they really irritate me and I want to say something, I'm going to grab that thought and take it captive and then instead use Holy Spirit to speak out a scripture over them or a word of encouragement over them. Or do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's such an encouraging, powerful thing that we have. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in other things that we forget what it's all about. And when in Beth Moore's video, because I watched it just as a recap last night because I wanted to see what she was saying about the beginning of Timothy, and she talked mainly about 1 Timothy, but she was talking about how in 2 Timothy, the Jews actually had like these things on their forehead, and I cannot remember what they called, but they had the word on their forehead, right? But so they knew the word of God, right? They knew the word of God, knew it. I mean, they were taught, it's actually amazing how they're taught at such a young, early age to have scripture memorization. But they're, it's awesome and amazing knowing it, but it's even more powerful if it's in your heart. And it's not just a knowing, but it's a doing. When you take the word of God and you make it an action in your everyday life flowing from you. So one more Beth Moore quote, and then I'll stop, okay? So this is Beth Moore. He longs to enable us to do, this is Holy Spirit, to do what we cannot do, love who we cannot stand, and gain what we cannot lose. And I just think that that is such an amazing demonstration of what Paul's talking about, what Jesus talked about, what he talked about when he talked about sending Holy Spirit. We cannot love each other without Jesus. Misty Edwards sings it all the time. Jesus, we can't even love you without you, inside of us teaching us. We can't do the things that we're called to do without him. We can't even like seek him without him. We can't gain biblical knowledge without him. We can gain, well, I should rephrase that. We can gain the knowledge, but we can't gain the understanding and the heart change of it without the Holy Spirit. So I have this quote from A.W. Tozer. Where is it at? In the Knowledge of the Holy, which I'm just amazed at my daughter, because if there's one person in my life that really, a person besides Holy Spirit and Jesus, that really wants to make me learn biblical things, it's her, because she's so dang smart and she has so much biblical knowledge at a young age, because she just was a teenager and sat in the house and listened to teachings and read the word of God, that sometimes when I'm having a conversation with her, I feel this big. So anyways, and it's not because she makes me feel that way. But so this is the Knowledge of the Holy. This is the end of the 11th chapter. When the goodness of God to desire the highest warfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favored of all creatures. I just absolutely loved that, because it's like when Paul's writing this to Timothy and he is saying, you've been entrusted with the word. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you the word. Guard those things. Protect those things. And then you have Tozer, who writes out just the goodness of God, okay? The goodness of God, our highest warfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it. What do we lack? We lack nothing. We lack absolutely nothing with the word of God. We lack absolutely nothing with the supernatural empowerment that comes in us with God. nothing. We do not lack anything. And so many times in America, we get so twisted with happiness and joy. Happiness and joy. They're two different things, people. These people were not happy. Do you think Paul was happy while he was sitting in prison? No, I think his body was killing him. I think he was in pain. I think he was miserable, but I think he had joy. I think he had joy. He had joy because he knew. He knew what God entrusted him with. He knew what God gave him. He changed his life when he had that amazing encounter with God. And then he seeked him. And he not only seeked him, but he seeked him in a way that he walked out his calling. So Paul is in prison and he's about to die. And he's saying, I know that God is going to guard what he has given to me to share until the end of age. Till Jesus comes back, until I die, I know that I can do what I'm called to do because God has given it to me. Holy Spirit is helping me guard it. So Lord, we just thank you so much, so, so much for this time. We just thank you so much for your word. We just thank you for just this display of a father and just of a son, Lord, and just the love, your love, Lord, that is in the word. Lord, I thank you for people that have gone before us and paved a road for us, Lord, so that we're able to do things well through you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you so much for the body of Evangel, and I just thank you so much for Jeff and Jody and everything that they have poured out over the past 28 going on, I think 30 years almost. Lord, I just ask you just to bless them abundantly, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would sow deep inside of us a desire to serve you, a desire to live holy, a desire to glorify you, Lord. Not because we have to, Lord, or because it's rule-based, but because we want to glorify you, because we love you so much and we understand that you love us and that you would not call us to do something that your Holy Spirit and your word cannot give us the ability to do, Lord. Jesus, I just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There will be a quiz for your three questions. No, I'm just joking. And the living the whole, I mean, that was just a small part, just to clarify, of the living holiness or glorifying God, living a life that's glorifying to God. That's just one little tiny section in scripture of how you can do it. I mean, just follow Jesus.